started. On the way to the city, this is will be my final discussion of this subject, as I've had a couple of others on it. From that passage in Ecclesiastes 10:15, we read, "The labor of fools wearieth every one of them, for he knoweth not how to go to the city." And then we took that passage, kind of applied it concerning the city of God, which Jesus tells us about, we're told about in the New Testament, the city that we're all going to be able to have a part in. But I want you to notice on that thought in Ecclesiastes 10:15, the labor of fools. You know, I get the impression that it is talking about people that they spend all their time laboring for the here and the now. They want the physical. The physical is what's important to them. The things that they see upon this earth. And so they work themselves to death trying to get what they want, and they can't take anything with them when they die. And they're so involved in accruing what you can get through labor on this earth that you don't know how to go to the city. You don't know how to do what's really important, in other words. What's important in life? It's serving the Creator. Now, if you just look around you, you know, the big thing is the more worldly, materialistic things you can get, the better you are. The more money you have, the better you are. Everybody wants to get rich. Everybody wants to have a million. And that's why the show How to Become, or what is it called, How to Be a Millionaire, or the millionaire thing. Well, it's actually coming back. Now, why is that such a popular thing? Because everybody wants to get rich. And if they can't get rich, they can sit and watch other people getting rich, you know. So I guess they're going to make more money off of it, so it's coming back. Well, there's lots of other things out there that have money tied to it. There's all kinds of things that you can get involved in. Some of them are okay in the sight of God, where you're not involved in gambling, but there's a lot of things out there, casinos and all kinds of lottery things that people get involved in for gambling. And what are they doing all that for? Well, yeah, there is some entertainment involved. I can't deny that. But most of it is to try to get a bunch of money. Materialism is behind it. I want you to go back with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and let's look at a few verses there to talk about the city for a few moments, and to remember that, you know, where should our hearts be centered? What are we looking forward to? Where is our hope really placed? What is it that is going to make me happy? Is it something I'm trying to accomplish now on this earth? Or is it something beyond this earth? Where's my heart really positioned? What kind of hope do I actually have? Now, I'm not saying you can't have any hope of things on this earth. We all have hope that we're going to continue to keep our jobs and get a paycheck and pay our bills and have food to put on the table and have our health. We have hope in all those areas. I'm talking about the most important, the hope that should be the primary motivating force in our lives. I believe the answer is right here in Hebrews 11. In a contextual setting of all of the faithful people of the Creator in times past, not all listed, but majority or the main ones are listed, what did they focus on? Well, let's start with verse 1. Now, faith is assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. Now that right there sets the stage. We're not talking about something on this earth. We're talking about something that you can't see it. Faith is in something that you can't see. You can't smell, taste, touch, hear, or feel. Now the five senses. It is faith. And that's what our hope is set in. Well, let's go a little deeper. Jump down to verse 10. And it's talking in the context, of course, Abraham. And it says in verse 10 about some of the ways he reacted the way he did in life. verse 10, for he looked, now get this, for he looked for a city, or the city, which has the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, am I to understand that he was looking for a physical city on this earth? No, he was not. Because we go on down to verses 13 through 16, and includes Abraham with others. He says, these all died in faith. And remember now, faith that we're talking about was defined in verse 1. It's a faith. You can't even separate faith and hope. You can't have a proper faith without hope. So when I say faith, I'm talking about hope with that faith. I believe in things that I've never seen. I believe in God. I've never seen God. I believe in heaven. Never seen heaven. I believe in this place that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Never seen it, but I believe in it. They did. They all died in faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's interesting. Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things make it manifest that they are seeking a country after their own. Oh, they were seeking an earthly country? No. Not an earthly country. And if indeed they had been mindful of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country. Look at that. That is. The Holy Spirit defines it for us. We can't go wrong. That is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. I want you to understand how intricately involved our faith is in believing the promises of God. It says here emphatically that the reason God is not ashamed of them to be called their God is because they believe in this country. And within this country, which is heavenly, there is something that he identifies specifically as a city. Now, when I read about this city in heaven, as Revelation puts it forth, I know that it doesn't have streets of gold. Because streets of gold would involve a physical place with physical material. Actually, we know that material, gold. We might not have ever touched it, but we know about it. But he tells us about this place, and he uses physical, material things to help us understand the beauty of this place in the spiritual realm, his home, heaven. All of the beautiful stones, he uses those. He identifies the city as certain dimensions of 4 square, which of course we know cannot be literal. There's going to be millions and millions of people in this place. We understand that the physical activities of definition are not going to be enforced in heaven because it's a spiritual realm. But he is conveying to us thoughts, beauty, perfectness, in dimensions, rigid dimensions, specifications of how this city is laid down by the Creator. Symmetrical 4 square activity. These things may have meaning, but they're not literal as far as a physical understanding goes. Like if we made a place called heaven, a city like this. But I want you to notice that it is this city that is in this country that is heavenly, the reason God is not ashamed of them to be called their God. And that is very, very important. Now, in the last two discussions, I talked about the way to this city. We know that the Holy Spirit tells us in the inspired Word of God that this way is straight and narrow, and few find it. And it's a way that is difficult to stay in. It says, many are called, but few chosen. We understand that this way cannot be fully accomplished if we turn to the right hand or to the left hand. These are terms the Holy Spirit uses way back in the Old Testament. From day one, he uses these same illustrations. To be right with God, we have to stay in his commandments. We cannot add to them or take away from them. We cannot turn to the right hand or to the left hand. We have to stay on the course that God has set for us, the way that he's made for us. There are ways that seem right unto men, but those ways are the ways of death. I can't follow my own feelings or what I want or what I like or what I think. I have to let God do my thinking for me. Yeah, that's true. He's created us as free will beings, but he asks us to freely submit to his will and to follow his will throughout our lives and not our own will or men's will. So that's our responsibility as children of God. We have to do that, and there are many different ways. What assurance do we have that we're on the right road to this place that we read about in the Bible? And so we ask the question, well, like some people say, well, we're all going to the same place, and I pointed out, technically that's almost correct. If you say same place, if you look at it from the aspect of eternity, we are going to eternity. Everyone's going to eternity. Because once we're created in the image of God, then we never cease to exist according to the Bible. We live forever. That's true. We are now immortal. But we are immortal to be in a place for all eternity, which is either heaven or hell. So as the Bible tells us about